Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Connect 2017, Day 3 training. My name is Adrian Stevens.
And I'm Mark Smith.
We're part of Xamarin University, and today we're going to talk about continuous integration and delivery with Visual Studio App Center.
Which I'm pretty excited about because I think App Center is one of the most fantastic products that's come out of Microsoft in a long time.
It is really fantastic. Continuous integration, continuous deployment, really beneficial to us as developers, especially as mobile developers, and this is a great tool.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a fun tool.
Before we get started with App Center, let's talk just a little bit about Xamarin University.
Absolutely.
So Xamarin University is the place to go for all things mobile at Microsoft. And so if you're looking for training or learning how to build mobile apps with Microsoft tools, come to Xamarin University. We've got a ton of free content that you can use to be able to learn the basics and kind of get through building process and kind of getting your app and how it all works.
Right. Cross-platform, Azure Attach.
That's right. And then you can actually jump into live classes with expert trainers and really get deep training about architecture and design patterns and debugging and performance tuning and all the things you're going to need to make your app successful.
Yeah, there is a lot of content there.
Yeah, in fact, we'll have classes on App Center, in fact.
Absolutely, yes.
Yep, that's right. Now, one of the really cool benefits that we have with Xamarin University is office hours.
Yes, office hours are a great opportunity for you to get expert one-on-one help with really anything to do with building your mobile applications. So if you have a question about development, about a technique, or you want to work on your own code, the office hours are fantastic. Xamarin University experts, the same people that treats the classes, can help you one-on-one, diagnose your issues, help you with their code.
Yeah, so let me make sure I understand. I could actually take my code that I have a problem with. Maybe I can't get something to work properly. I'm trying to work with push notifications and Firebase. I could come to a Xamarin University guy and get an office hour and actually get questions answered with a real person.
Real person, direct communication.
Yeah, that's support.
Yeah, that is support.
That's pretty awesome.
It's a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, the other thing that we have at Xamarin University is the official mobile certification. So if you're looking to get certified, Xamarin University is the track to do it. And we have two different certification tracks. The first one you can do with the free training, and you can go through all the free training and actually take an exam and get certified.
Absolutely.
And then you can actually get into the live training and then take another exam and actually get a higher level certification to really show off your mobile skills.
Perfect. And speaking of showing off your mobile skills, we have DevConnect, and this is a perfect place for developers to go on, put up a profile, show off their skills, lift their skills, show off their certifications.
Right.
And DevConnect is really, it's to connect developers to potential employers.
Yeah. So I, as an employer, can go on to DevConnect, and I can actually look for guys that are in my area that are developers that are experienced and have certification and really know their stuff, and I can get them to help me build my app.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
learn, that is get certified,
cool.
Get a job.
That is pretty cool. So as we kind of build mobile apps, and we at Xamarin have actually talked to a lot of companies building mobile apps, and so we've got a lot of experience kind of thinking through a lot of the problems that people encounter. One of the things that we found, particularly enterprise developers, is they start with one app, but then they often end up building multiple apps because they recognize that their business is very broad and they need different apps to represent the segments that are there.
And on different devices.
Yeah, and on different devices. That's exactly right. And there's a couple of complexities that come out of that. First of all, it's managing all these different apps, but also just the build chain that's responsible for that. So when you build an Android app, you've got to keep up with the Android SDK and all the moving parts that are there. When you're dealing with iOS, typically, it requires a Mac, and you've got Xcode, and every time Apple releases a new version of Xcode, you know, you've got to make sure to upgrade and do all the right steps.
And right. Supporting your old devices.
Yeah, supporting your old devices. Maybe that, you know, if I'm an enterprise that has actually, for example, I did some work for a company where they gave their sales guys iPads. Well, you know, they were kind of locked in time at that point, so as Apple continues to innovate and create new devices, all these guys, they had thousands of these iPads that they weren't going to go upgrade because it's too expensive, and so they need to maintain their enterprise apps on older versions of iOS that, you know, it's difficult to target with the newer releases.
Absolutely.
So you kind of manage all that. And so kind of keeping track of all that and of all those apps can be a challenge. The other thing that really is striking, particularly in the mobile world with development, is it really is a rapid changing place. And so, you know, innovation is really critical in the mobile world, particularly when you're dealing with competitors, you know, that are leapfrogging you with features. And so kind of getting into a really tight development, testing, and then deployment loop with interaction points with your customers is really important to be successful in the mobile world.
Absolutely. Making sure your apps behave the way your users expect, but you're supporting all these crazy new devices, you're supporting all the new features,
right,
integrating with all these other technologies like wearables.
Right. And doing it quickly, because you know the typical development cycle of waiting 4 months to release the next version of your app doesn't work in this world. You really have to iterate very fast.
Absolutely.
And so we've got to make sure that we've got this rapid sort of life cycle that's running for this.
But deploying safely.
Yes, deploying safely. And really, when we talk about deploying safely, the key, or really the key to success, when we talk about applications that are, you know, 5-star and well rated, it all comes down to testing. I mean, it's
Absolutely.
Like anything else in software. Yeah. If you don't test your software, it's almost guaranteed that it's going to break for somebody,
yeah.
right? And so if you look at the really successful companies that have great apps, it's not that they hired, well, maybe they did hire awesome developers, but it's not that those developers don't make mistakes. It's that they've got a good testing cycle that's in
Absolutely.
Place. And the problem in the mobile world is, when you talk about testing, you have to test on such a wide variety of things.
Yeah, this is a great example here with the stack of devices.
That's right.
And this is a small sample.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We've got phones, we've got tablets, we've got different versions of phones. And you know, even when we talk about Android, man, you've just got all the fragmentation issues. You know, this is a recent chart that we pulled off of the Android development page
yeah.
that just kind of gives a sense of what's the percentage of penetration for different versions of Android. And you can see that it's very broad.
Yeah, and we're seeing OSs that were launched over a year ago still don't have that much penetration. So there's
yeah, almost 2 years
crazy
ago.
Crazy fragmentation.
Yeah, that's yeah. right. Almost 2 years ago is really where the sweet spot is. And so really being able to make sure to test all your apps on all these different form factors, on all these different OS versions, is really critical. We've got to make sure to do that in order to create high-quality apps. So how do we do that? Well, goodness.
It sounds very hard.
Man, Microsoft gets that this is a problem. And in fact, we've actually built multiple services to be able to kind of solve a lot of these problems independently. So we had Hockey App for distribution. We had Xamarin Test Cloud to be able to do UI testing and kind of automated testing. We had Xamarin Insights to do analytics.
Right, so a lot of really great tools.
A lot of really great tools.
But in a lot of different places.
Yeah, that's right. And they weren't really that integrated. So for you to use them inside your CI/CD pipeline, you had to actually create the glue that was going to kind of put all those things together. It's not impossible, but man, we just want to make your life easier.
Well, I mean, and we're developers. We want to build apps. We don't want to be playing with the tooling, try to figure out which one to use, which build system to use.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I want to focus on actually making my app high quality.
Absolutely.
Right? So we took all of these things and we put them together and we called it Visual Studio App Center. And so this is essentially our integrated pipeline of all these disparate tools that we already had, and we call it our mission control for mobile apps. It's the one-stop shop where you can actually do your continuous integration, your continuous deployment, just like what you talked about.
Fantastic.
Right, and create high quality apps. And the cool thing is Visual Studio App Center has something for everyone. It doesn't matter what tool system you like to use or what language is your favorite. You know, we're not going to lock you into our ecosystem of Microsoft tools. As much as I'd love for every one of you out there to be doing Xamarin development, we realize there's reasons to do development with other platforms too. And App Center supports those. So if you're a big fan of Java, you know, using Java tools to build Android apps, we got you covered. If you want to use Swift for your iOS apps, very cool. We can do that too. So you can use any one of these to be able to support that.
Right. So it's not just Xamarin iOS, not just Xamarin Android. It's native Android.
That's exactly right. So you can use your native Android tools to be able to do things with Visual Studio App Center. And just this week, we actually announced support for macOS, which is pretty cool too.
That's fantastic.
All right. So what things are actually available in Visual Studio App Center? Well, we have 6 basic services that are kind of all integrated. And this is changing pretty quickly over the time that it's been in preview and now been launched. We've kind of seen a lot of churn in here, and I'm sure there will be new features that are added too. But the 6 things that we're really going to talk about today are the build service, the testing service, the distribution service, the crash reporting service, the analytics service, and then push notification service.
Pretty fantastic. So really, the core of the tools that we're going to want as mobile developers to make sure that our app is deploying safely.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yep. Thank you, Adrian. So, and here's another cool thing about this is you can actually integrate this into your existing CI/CD pipeline. So, for instance, if you decide that you would just like to take one of those services and use it as part of your application development process, you can totally do that.
Right, you may have invested time in other services already, but there's some things this does that you're not doing already.
That's right. So maybe you've already got a Jenkins server that's your build host. Great, you can continue to use that and push testing into App Center and get your application tested with our set of devices that are in the cloud. Right, so it's very,
Fantastic.
Very cool. In fact, App Center was actually designed first with an API. So the original genesis of App Center was all built around a web service API that you can actually leverage and use.
It really meant to be flexible. And also, it really nods to the fact that we don't have to leverage all of these services. We don't have to use all six. We use the ones we want.
You pick the services that you want to use, right? So, yeah, you can choose. And there's an actual command line interface as well. So if you want to interact with the command line and put it into your scripting system, you can totally do that as well. So it's pretty cool that you know, again, we're not going to lock you into our ecosystem. You choose the things you want to use. So let's talk just about the first pillar, which is the build service. So the cool thing about the build service is, again, we are going to make it really easy for you. You can actually connect your code from a variety of different existing source code repositories. So we support today GitHub and Bitbucket and Visual Studio Team System.
Pretty fantastic.
Yeah, and so we can actually pull your source code right out of those repositories and run it through our build system.
All right, so again, we're not locking into any one ecosystem or one system. Git, really common, Bitbucket, Visual Studio Team Services, all really common repositories, pull those in.
Right. In fact, if you probably did an analysis of the most common places to find source code, my guess is the 90% is in these three.
I would think so, yeah.
So this is where most people are storing their code. And here's the cool thing is we can pull that code in, we can run our build chain, so we're maintaining the servers, we're upgrading the tools, we're keeping all those SDKs up to date, we've got the Macs. Right.
Yeah, so, this is the secret sauce. I mean, this is the hard part of the build.
That's exactly, yeah, totally. And so we can do all that for you. We'll pull your build down from your source code, and we'll actually run it through, and then we can distribute it for you. So we can actually send it out to your testers, too. So we'll do the build, and then we'll give you a report saying whether or not it's successful or not. You can actually configure whether or not you want release builds. You can do custom builds where you can build off of different branches. So it's very, very flexible, very, very cool. You can do the builds on demand, so I can choose when I want the builds to be done, or I can just do it automatically as part of any push that goes in. So there comes your continuous integration, right? So
and what I'm really seeing for this is it's not just the safety, but it's also the efficiency. I'm no longer worried about pushing out these distribution builds or making these builds. I just commit the code, and this all happens automatically.
Right. Yep, so I make a change, I push it into the source code repository in a specific branch, and that builds, that kicks off a build, and it automatically makes sure that my build is successful. Yep, and I'll get a notification about it.
Excellent.
So the other part of this, as I mentioned, is we can actually take those builds, and then we can distribute it to your testers. Those testers may be a specific group, and so I can actually correlate to a particular branch that goes out to one set of testers, or I can say it goes out to all of them, or I can even pick individuals and say, hey, here's the link to the build that I want you to test. And then you can install it on your device and then run the app directly. So this morning, as an example, we built our app.
Absolutely.
And then we pushed out the link to the app to the team just to kind of get some analytics on it, and people just downloaded it right from there and installed it on their device. It's pretty awesome.
Pretty fantastic. Which reminds me, I think I need to update the latest version.
That's right. So one of the other things that we get out of the distribution service is you can actually do in-app updates as well. And so you can integrate the SDK from App Center into your app. And as part of the build process, when the app launches, it can actually go up to the App Center servers, and it can detect that there's a new build available for this group. And it can pull that down on, if they accept it, it can pull down and install it for you so that they don't need to do that process manually, which
really
is pretty cool.
Making everything easy. So easy for the developers, easy for distribution, and easy for your users, for your testers.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the final piece of that is, of course, once you've done all that testing, and once you've kind of gone through that process and you feel like your app is rock solid, we can publish right from App Center to the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. The App Store.
App Store.
Yeah, and so we take that final step for you interact with our system, and we'll interact with iTunes Connect or with the Google Play Store, which is pretty cool. So let's just look at some of the services that are here, and let's specifically focus on the build server. So I've got App Center up here. This is just appcenter.ms is the link for it. And you can also just search for App Center. You'll find it. So there's a variety of things. This is sort of the starting page once you log in.
And it's really easy to create an account here, too, isn't it?
It is. And so I'm logged in with my Microsoft account, but you can actually choose to use a GitHub account, Facebook account.
I think Google as well.
I think Google might be there as well.
And you just do regular old email, use your password.
Or you can just create a new account. So we're giving you lots of options. Yeah. You can choose exactly how you want to log in. I'm part of two different organizations. The one I'm most interested in here is Xamarin University, and so this is our Garden Helper app that we started. I already have both Android and iOS set up here.
Fantastic.
And so, for example, if I click on the iOS app, you can see that I can go to the build service here, and I can see all the branches. So I've connected App Center with my Visual Studio Team Systems GitHub or Git account, and you can see that I've got one branch here, and I can actually look at the history of this. I can see there were two failures, and then there were some builds here. I can even kick off a new build right now. If I click on a specific build, I can actually see the build output. And so, for example, if I wanted to see, well, what happened here when I did this? Actually, let's use this build here. What happened here? Why did it actually fail? I got 11 warnings and two errors here. If I scroll up, it says, oh, it can't register this binding, and I think it had a multi-dex problem in here as well. But you can actually go and see the errors that have occurred. You can see the entire build sort of log that you would have gotten out of MS Build.
Yeah, it's a really impressive level of detail. And so we've got this very nice friendly interface, but the depth is there to dive deep and find where the error occurred and solve your problems.
And the cool thing is this build is pretty easy to set up. So if I back up here, back up to the thing, and I'm just going to go ahead and add a new app, and you can add new organizations as well. We'll call this Garden Center. Or Garden Helper, but we'll do Garden Helper for UWP.
This is interesting because Garden Helper is a Xamarin formed application, correct?
It is. Yeah. It is, but notice that here I've got my description, my name, and then I get to choose my operating system and my platform. And again, we want to be as inclusive as possible. This isn't just for Xamarin. I can pick iOS, Android, Windows, or today, Mac OS Preview. And then in this case, I'm going to pick Windows, and notice it's UWP. But if I do Android, I can actually do Java, React Native, or Xamarin. If I do iOS, I can do Objective-C or Swift, so that's an Xcode project, React Native or Xamarin. And then Mac OS would just be Objective-C Swift. And
Fantastic.
So I get to pick the specific platform and operating system that I'm actually doing a build for. Now, if you're in a Xamarin Forms app, in this case, we've got three different platforms that we can target here. I have to create three different projects in App Center to support that.
Again, because we are ultimately making native binaries on each platform.
Yeah, that's yes. And so I've created my app super fast. It tells me some getting started if I want to integrate things about the SDK into my application, and I'm going to go to the build. And notice it doesn't really have anything yet for the build because we've just added this app. But I can select my service. So I first need some source code to build.
Excellent.
I can go to VSTS, GitHub, or Bitbucket. I'm going to pick Team Systems. I'm already logged into the same account, so it's going to scan what's available to me. I'm going to scroll all the way down to the bottom of all these things that I have no idea what they are. Go to the Xamarin University Labs.
We're part of a big group here. So.
Yeah. And pick my Garden Helper app. Now, this is really cool because what it's doing is it's authenticating against VSTS. It's pulling in this project that I already had in my Git repository, and it's making a connection so that they're linked together. When a change is made in that Git repo, it sends a message over to App Center, and App Center can then do something with it.
Really fantastic. And you can also jump over to your VSTS repository with the button.
I can, yeah. There's an open on VSTS, and then I can also come up here and disconnect it if I really want to. So notice that we haven't built anything yet. This is my master branch. I'm going to come here and say configure the build. I get to pick the project. In this particular case, it's just picking out the solution. If I were on Android, it would actually have found the Android project. I can set the particular configuration that I want. So this is just coming out of that solution configuration. So you can see I've got all my regular configurations that were already present there.
Right, they're already defined in your solution.
They're already defined. I can pick my platforms. I can define build scripts. And so build scripts allow me to put custom steps in here. For instance, if I wanted to connect some testing into this, every time I do a build, I also run some tests. I could do it with some build scripts.
Again, friendly but flexible.
And then I can also set my build frequency. So build this branch on every push or manually choose when to build it. I can increment the version number, and I can set environment variables. The environment variables are pretty useful because then I can have some custom things that happen as part of this build process specific to this build or this branch that it's associated with, which is pretty nice. I can then sign the builds or distribute the builds as necessary. And so we're going to go ahead and say, yes, let's go ahead and distribute to any collaborators right now. It's just me. And I can even create a build status badge. And so if I want to track whether or not that build is successful, I can get a little badge that I could put into my GitHub repo or whatever.
Right, really nice, especially for things like open source projects and let people know that your builds are succeeded and they can pull down that code and get working on it right away.
Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and hit save and build. And it's going to go off and do its thing. And it typically takes a little while to do the build because it's actually going to spin up a server and configure it all and put all the tools there and then begin the build process to build the UWP app. But the cool thing is I don't have to deal with SDKs. I don't have to deal with configuring Visual Studio. I've connected it, and now I'm going to be the build master, and I'm going to have Microsoft servers do that build
right.
for me.
I mean, there's very few steps to wire up a UWP project. Now, there was a little work done in the code itself, correct? In your UWP project?
No, not to do the build.
Not to build, no.
Yeah, so from a build perspective, I don't have to do anything in the project itself. It's just setting it up in the portal, and it'll do the build for me.
Pretty fantastic.
And one of the really cool things is even this week, this really saved my bacon because I didn't bring a Mac with me to Seattle. I don't live in Seattle, and I didn't bring a Mac with me, and I needed to do a build of the iOS version of this application. Well, what am I going to do? I don't have a Mac.
I need a Mac with you
to be the build host.
Yeah.
Well, I used App Center, and I went in and said, hey, trigger a new build on this, and I used Microsoft servers to build the app for me, and I actually had it deployed right to my phone.
Pretty fantastic.
Yeah, pretty fantastic. No build host for me, but somebody has one. It's just Microsoft doing that. So it's going to go off and build. Let me go back over to one of the other apps that we've got there, and we'll come back to him. Let's go to Android. This is the one we've deployed kind of the most. And let me go down here to the distribute section. And so one of the cool things we can do with the distribution is I can define the collaborators that are part of this project. And so in this case, we've got three collaborators, my buddy Rob, of course, Adrian, and myself. And I can actually set this up to say how this is going to get notified. So when a new build happens, do we notify these collaborators? They'll get an email with a little link saying they can update the application directly from the App Center distribution.
Right, and for the case of Android, just pull down the APK and off I go.
Yeah, that's right. And so you'll get a link to it, and you'll click on it from your actual device, and it will just install over the air to your device itself. So that's pretty darn cool that I can actually set all that up. I can also go down here to releases so I can see what releases have happened. Now, I've not been bumping the version number. There is actually a toggle that I could change as part of the build that I could have been doing that, and I didn't do that. It was a mistake. I should have. But you can see all the releases that have happened here. And then I can also go to store. So once I'm actually ready to deploy this, you can see here I can go to Google Play or to an Intune company portal, and I can push this app up there. So it'll collect all the metadata, and it will create the appropriate things, and it'll push it into the store for me.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's pretty darn cool that I can do that. So the other thing we can do here is if we go to the distribute here, I can actually say distribute a new release. So if I click this, I can then upload a build, right? So for instance, maybe I've done a test build on my machine because we've encountered a problem specifically with Adrian. He's not using the app right. He's taking pictures of the wrong things.
Doing it wrong, yeah.
You're doing it wrong. And so I've put a fix in, but I don't know if that fix is going to work for him, and I don't really want to put it into the repo and distribute it to everybody. Instead, I can build it locally. I can then upload that APK and trigger it just to Adrian.
Right, and only to me, and then I can validate.
He can test it, make sure it works, or provide some feedback to me, and then we can go ahead and put it into the real build, distribute it to all of our users.
Really powerful, really flexible.
Really is. That's pretty cool. I can also, of course, choose from the branch, and so it'll pull all my branches, and I can pick it from there, which is what we've been doing up to this point.
Again, it also nods to the fact that we don't have to use all the tools. We don't have to have App Center do the build for us. We can create our own builds and distribute through the App Center distribution system.
Yeah, that's yes. And so it's still building. I was kind of hoping that we'd see it. We might be able to at least see where it is. And so you can actually click on it while it's running, and you can kind of see what it's doing. So notice it's pulling down NuGet packages here, of which there's a lot. And so it's still going through the build process. But that's the idea of the build tier. So let's go ahead and look at the next pieces that are available here.
Excellent.
So the next one is the testing piece. And so again, I mentioned testing is critical with your mobile apps, particularly testing across lots of devices and platforms.
And this has historically been very challenging as well.
It has. I think really testing is the key to being able to ship high quality 5-star apps.
Absolutely.
If you don't test your app, you're going to get bad reviews. It's almost guaranteed. And so we want to be able to release our apps quicker, have a quick iterative process, but be able to continue to do that testing that generally, at least historically, has always taken a lot of time.
Right, and we need to be doing automated testing.
Yeah, we want to do automated testing, and we want to test on a lot of devices. And we also want to make sure that we test the same scenarios, because if we leave it up to users to do our tests for us, often, you know, it'll be like, well, I didn't really change anything with that aspect, so I'm not going to go through those particular screens.
Right, the manual testing.
Yeah, and invariably what happens, in, at least in my case, is it almost always something I changed here probably broke something there. And so we want to make sure to go through all those test scenarios.
Absolutely.
And so we're going to build automated tests. And the cool thing is Visual Studio App Center supports automated testing. I can actually write out build scripts that'll drive my app through all of its various paces to be able to verify that it does what it's supposed to do.
Right, and we're not just talking about unit tests. We're talking about actually interacting with the application, interacting with the UI in an automated fashion.
That's correct. So we call those behavioral tests or UI tests. And we want to be able to test on all these devices. And I don't want to lock you into a framework. And so again, Visual Studio App Center provides choices for you. You can choose to use Appium, or I can use Espresso with Java, or I can use Apple's XCUI test, or I can use Xamarin UI test.
All right, and write my test in C#.
And write my test in C#, which is my framework of choice, but it may not be yours. And that's the key critical piece here is Visual Studio App Center allows you to choose exactly what technology you want to leverage here, but we've got something for you. So one of the questions that came up here was, Peter asked, can I build an iOS or Android app using Apache Cordova? Yes, you can. So the build chain, I believe, is there.
Yeah, my understanding is there, yes.
Yeah, my understanding is you can, Peter. But check the docs just to backtrack me on that. So let me just show you kind of the testing piece here. And what I want to show you first is I'm going to pull this app up, and this is a slightly different version of the app. This is the one that's actually in the full repo that's being built here, because I've actually got some tests. So I used Xamarin UI test, which is a C# testing framework, to be able to drive the app through its paces.
Fantastic.
And we've got some great classes at Xamarin University on Xamarin UI test, and so I can't explain everything here today in the time that we have, but I want you to be aware that it's a great way of actually driving your app through its paces, and you can write the test in C#, but still test a native app. So it doesn't have to be written in Xamarin. Your application doesn't have to be written in Xamarin.
Right.
I can simply write my tests using C#. We use NUnit as the actual player, so it kind of looks like a unit test, but it's not.
Right. It's used in a very similar fashion, but yeah, it's definitely not a unit test.
Yeah, and so you can see that I've got NUnit sort of things here, test fixture. I'm going to make it an Android test here. This is a cross-platform test, and so I'm going to start the application. And this is really the main test that I'm using here. I call it test rows. We're using the camera in this app, and the camera is fairly difficult to test, at least on a real device, because you have to keep in mind that when we push these tests up to the cloud, we're running it on thousands of physical devices. You don't have to buy those devices. We've already done that for you. And we've got them connected, and we're going to actually, each time we run the test, we wipe the device so it's completely clean, we install your app on it, and we run the tests on it, and then we give you a test report.
Right, so of course, with the camera, we don't have the device physically present, so we can't...
I can't just pick it up and take a picture of Adrian
but there's also
and see what it does.
Another challenge of when you're using the camera on Android, it's actually a separate component. It's an activity from another application.
Yeah, Android is tricky because when you actually use the dialer or the camera or anything else, you're actually jumping into another app that's exposed to an activity for you. And so you can't drive the camera through any sort of testing framework. They just don't allow for that. It's not a permission that's going to be supported. And so what we've done with this particular UI test, and you can kind of go through the details in the GitHub repo, is we're using what's called a backdoor.
Excellent.
And the idea is I want to still be able to test at least everything from the point of picking a picture all the way through my application lifecycle. But I can't really take the picture or select a picture because that's a different app and I can't drive that. And so I've added in to my application what's called a backdoor, and I'll just show it to you in Android here. And the idea is that I can actually trip this particular API, and I have it with a pound if to be able to kind of conditionally compile it in.
Compile directive, yeah.
Yeah, and so you can see it's called UI test select picture. And what it's going to do here is we're going to use the messaging center API, which is a built-in API in Xamarin Forms, to just be able to send a message to somebody. We don't care who it is. It's a loosely coupled messaging service. And the thing that's actually going to pick up that message is my main view model. And so remember, the main view model is where we were actually taking the picture and such. You can see here in my main view model constructor, I'm going to subscribe to that message, and I'm going to run this backdoor test take picture, which is this method. It's actually, this is the name of it. That's the name of the message. And then I'm going to actually run it on test with picture. That's the method we're going to execute. And this is just going to use some URLs that I picked off the web. So I'm just going to warn you, I don't own these images. They're probably copyright. I'm probably completely violating the copyright by having it in the app. But this is a test app. You know, you would typically want to put your own images in there. I just grabbed the first three that I found. I'll probably delete the URLs.
Absolutely.
But the idea is I can actually say I want to test a rose, I want to test a tulip, or I want to test an orchid. And we'll go grab an image off the web, right? Or maybe it's an image in the app. And then I'll hand it down to the rest of the services to actually test it and make sure that it drives through those things.
And again, I mean, is really powerful as well, even inside of the camera issues, in that we use in the back door, we can constrain the test. So we've got a consistent source input and to test the rest of the UI.
Yes. And so let me just go over here to Android, and I'm going to go to the test section. And I can see my test runs. And so you can see here I've got two test runs that have run. And I can see my memory that's been used. If I click on one of the tests, I can even see whether or not they passed or failed. And so in this particular case, we can see there were some failures that happened, but I do have some successes as well. I can click on the failure and get an idea of what exactly happened. So take a picture, showing a rose, right? Notice what happened here is these three, or these four devices here, the Google Pixel and the Samsung Galaxy Note 8 and the Samsung Galaxy S7 Edge running Android 7, all worked successfully, but for some reason, the Samsung Galaxy S7 Edge running Android 6 crashed.
This is really interesting because these are all popular commercial devices.
Yep.
They superficially seem very similar.
Yeah, right? In fact, I have a Galaxy S7 Edge.
And your local testing has been working
as
well.
And my local tests work just fine, but I'm running Android 7. Yeah. And it turns out that for some reason, Android 6 actually has a problem. This is, by the way, a real device. And so this isn't some fabricated simulator that's in the cloud somewhere. This is a physical device connected to a server that's running my test.
Yeah, which is similar to the device you have in hand, but not the same. And
really
shows the power of having access to this huge collection of devices for UI testing.
Yeah, last count, I think there were over 3,000 devices
in the
test lab. So it's pretty cool. I can get information on the device that failed. You know, it could be the amount of memory or maybe the CPU that's there. I can then even see the logs for this. And so we get device logs on Android. It's going to be the logcat. So it's everything that happened on that device. On Apple devices, it's going to be system log.
Yeah.
It's the system log that comes in. I see the test log itself. So this is going to change based on which testing framework you're using. So in this case, we're using NUnit to run our tests, and so it looks like an NUnit log. But if I were using Appium, it would look a little bit different. But I can then see, we couldn't load some assembly, something happened there. And I could see that we had a timeout waiting for element. So it never got to that second screen because it crashed, and therefore we had a timeout on the test. I can also see the test failures, so it'll just capture that portion of the log as a test failure. And as part of that, I can even get a stack trace whenever there was an actual fatal error. And so I might be able to use this to be able to kind of track down what kind of really happened in the code. But this is pretty cool because it gives me an idea of what happened on this particular test run that one device failed, but all of the others were successful.
Yeah, and this is a classic example of if you test locally, you think your app is solid, you release it to the world, and you get bad reviews because your app is crashing.
That's
right. You don't know why. This is a great way of catching those kind of problems.
Yeah, and in fact, I'm just going to reinforce also that, you know, often as developers, we tend to test on emulators or simulators, and the problem with emulators and simulators is they tend to sort of mirror the physical characteristics or the hardware of the device or the computer that they're being emulated on, which means they often are much, much faster or have a lot more memory than a real device does. And so you'll find that your app tends to be really quick and responsive, and you're like, this thing is awesome, you know, and then you install it on a low-end Android device, you know, with a low amount of memory, and you find out that, man, my app doesn't even launch.
Absolutely.
You know, I've got to do some work to be able to get this to work.
And they're also often idealized versions of the platforms. In the case of Android, the platforms, they're often customized. And so I know Samsung does some customization on their phones. And so the behavior on a stock device might be different than running on a specific vendor's platform.
Right.
iPhone. So again, you just can't be testing on real devices.
Yeah, you've got to test on real devices is the bottom line. So before you distribute your app, you have to push it onto real devices. And TestCloud, I think, or at least the App Center, Visual Studio App Center with its testing features, is the way to do it because you just have access to such a massive selection of devices. It's pretty darn cool. And by the way, I meant to show this. So if I create a new test run, so if I back up here, one of the things I can do is I can actually back up again, say new test run, All right, and I get to select my devices. So notice I have my standard Android devices that I picked, but I can pick other configurations as well. And so these are different physical devices that I have access to that I could select. So maybe I do an HTC running Android 6 just to see, maybe it's an Android 6 issue that I've got here. Maybe I've done something in my app that is restricted on Android 6 or not available in Android 6 because it's an Android 7 API. All right, so I could use some of these to try out some other devices running similar versions of Android and see, is it the device, is it the operating system, you know, what really is the fail that's
here? Yeah, really powerful, and things that we've often relied on beta testers for to track down in the past.
Right, right. We don't have to do that now. We can actually just use these automated testing features so we can catch those problems before our users do, and that's the key.
Absolutely.
Right? High-quality apps. So the last set of services that we want to look at are crash and analytics. So crash and analytics is pretty cool. What it allows us to do is catch crashes that happen in our apps. They get reported into App Center, and then I get an actual view of that crash so I can see a stack trace. I can kind of investigate and kind of figure out what really happened before the user reports it to me, and that's the key.
Yes.
Right? It's an early opportunity for me to engage with this particular error and find it and fix it before it becomes a real problem in the review process.
Now, hopefully we've reduced the number of crashes, but when they do occur...
That's right. We can actually catch them. So this is once it's in the field. And these services that we're looking at here actually do require a little bit. So Adrian, you asked earlier, what do I have to do in my source code to integrate into App Center? Up to this point, nothing. Right, we did have to add the backdoor, but only because we were interacting with the camera.
And again, that's standard for doing, you know, UI testing.
Yes, any kind of UI testing. That's just the way it is for UI kind of tests. For these services that we're looking at here, Crash and Analytics, there are SDKs that you download and install into your app, and you have to register and set them up. Yeah. Once you do, you then kind of engage with these different services. And these are all opt-in, so you can choose which ones you want to use and which ones you don't. And so I can say, just use Crash services, for example, but I don't really want to collect any analytics on my customers. Or I could choose to use push services and none of the others. So I can pick and choose which ones I want to actually engage with inside my application by installing those specific SDKs.
Fantastic.
So the crash service is pretty cool because I can actually catch errors early and engage with them and then potentially even interact with my users as part of that. Analytics is also pretty interesting because I get a bunch of somewhat anonymous information back about where my app is being used, what kinds of devices it's on, how long people are using the app. I mean, sort of general demographic information that can help me identify who is my customer base.
Absolutely.
Or maybe even identify new customer bases I want to go after.
Yeah, it's a really valuable analytics, and we always think we know who our users are going to be and where they're going to go, but this gives a lot of insight as to the type of users we have and the type of devices being run on.
Yeah, or even the carriers that they're on and things like that. So we can collect all kinds of interesting information and sort of segue that or segregate that into data that we could then parse. The other thing that we can do with the analytics engine is we can actually produce what we call custom events, and the idea is these are events that we generate in our app that are then pushed into App Center that we can then analyze and figure out specific details on.
So I might use this for, say, on a certain feature in my application to find out if a user has gone to a certain screen or clicked a certain button or performed a certain action.
Yeah, this is a great way even to do like A/B testing where maybe I've created a new feature and I'm trying to decide which way, how do I want my users to engage with this feature? I could implement it a couple different ways, push the two versions out to two different sets of testers, and then look and use custom events to track how they're doing it and then kind of collect that information back to decide, how do I then improve my application? What's its evolution path look like?
Really fantastic, really powerful.
It is very, very powerful. It's very cool. The other thing that we can do is push notifications. So push notifications are historically really painful to work with because you have to deal with a variety of different servers out there. So with Apple, we have to use APNS.
Yeah.
On Android, we're going to use Firebase, and you have to set everything up. Now, what we're trying to do with this is we're trying to make it a one-stop shop for push notifications. And the idea is once you've set up the app to be able to support push notifications, then you can go into App Center and you can actually use your analytics data to target specific groups of customers that you would like to send those push notifications to. App Center will do all the work of actually interacting with Apple and Google's servers. And it will get those push notifications out to the device, which is pretty cool.
Really fantastic, and it does save a lot of headache.
Yeah, so just as an example, I could create an audience where I say, I want to target all of my U.S. customers that are on T-Mobile, and I'm going to send out a push notification because I've detected some sort of issue with the application, and I just want to let them know that it's corrected in the latest version. I can go into App Center and use that as an audience and then push that notification out to just that select group of customers.
Really powerful.
Very, very powerful. So let me just show you a little bit of how this works really quickly. So again, I'm going to back up here, or rather, let's look at crashes. So I've actually got a crash in my app. It's only in the debug build because I didn't want my release users to see it. But what I did is I cheated a little bit. I could have actually just put an exception in, I suppose, that wasn't caught. I stuck it into the main page.xaml here. So what I did, so you can see here is my debug, is I just added a gesture recognizer onto the little instruction label that's at the top of the app. And when you tap on it, we're going to go ahead and generate an exception. Now, I did it with the crashes SDK, so I added the NuGet package.
Because, of course, there's no way you've written a crash otherwise.
That's right. Yes. Well, not in my code anyway.
Not in your code.
Maybe in your code. And you can see I've actually added into this all of the App Center NuGet packages. So Microsoft.AppCenter is the common NuGet package. We also have the analytics, the crashes, and the distribution. So distribution is what it lets me do in-app distribution.
Now, I saw some instructions when you created that new UWP application on the portal.
It does. It gives you some specific instructions about how to do this, so it's really, really simple to add. You add the NuGet package. I can generate a test crash here just to be able to see whether or not that's working and whether or not it's being reported.
Fantastic.
The other thing we could do is we can actually do custom events with this as well. But let me just show you the crash portal first. So you can see I had two crashes, and it's kind of cool. I can actually look and see here's the stack trace for this, right? And so I can kind of get some detail on where did this actually happen. I can see what kind of device it was, most affected on, crashes per day. So I can get some analytical information related to those crashes and maybe be able to identify patterns. And so maybe it's only happening on Galaxy devices or maybe only on my S7.
Right.
So we can kind of determine why is this crash sort of occurring. So that's pretty cool. The analytics tab, basically once you add in the analytics package and turn it on, you actually will get automatic analytics on your users. And again, this is somewhat anonymous, so we do not identify specific devices.
Right, there's not really personal information here.
That's right. There's no personal information that's collected as part of the basic analytics piece. But you can see the devices that it's installed on. So in the Android case, we've got an S7 Edge, an S5 Neo, a Pixel 2 that are all using this app. And so we can get an idea of how long are people using the app, the daily sessions, the countries that they're in. So we only have two countries here, hopefully, maybe as part of this session, we'll get some more people involved.
We'll have Canada soon.
Yeah, that's right. We'll have Canada soon. We've got English and Germany as represented as the languages, and then we can kind of see what versions people are using as well. So this just kind of gives us a great picture of our user base from a generic perspective. I can also get a little bit deeper into this. So notice that we have log flow. Log flow is actual start session, end session, and it will show things like crash events that are happening here. So I can get a sense of, you know, people that are opening the app. And then finally, we get the custom events. I have several custom events that are in here. I'll show you those in just a second. But here in the portal, you can see all the custom events that have happened, how many times they've happened, the number of users that they've happened to. So these are things that I'm reporting.
Right. Again, this is really powerful because this is a great way to find out if your users are using the features in your application.
Right. So one of the things that I've got here is I've got actual custom events tied to the two buttons. And so we have the take picture and we have the use a picture, so use existing picture. And so I can see, nine people have done the take photo, only eight times for select photo. So I can get a sense of how often are people kind of engaging with this part of my app, or what tends to be the most common path that
Absolutely.
People are using. And that's really important as we try to evolve our application, right? What are we going to invest in moving forward?
Right.
So if I click one of these, you can see the users, and again, we get kind of some analytics counts that are happening here. And I can kind of look at each one of these to kind of get a sense of, you know, how often is the app reporting those custom events. So there's a couple of things that need to happen in order to use these packages. The first thing is you actually do need to register with App Center. And so you install the NuGet packages, you have to make a single call. In Xamarin Forms, you can actually combine all of them together. And so now that we have a UWP version, I can actually uncomment that. And we need to put a plus right here. I do.
Right, of course, Xamarin Forms is now in your shared code.
And so yeah, this is in my shared code. So this is my shared code that's across all these platforms. We call App Center Start, and we give it a GUID. That GUID uniquely identifies the specific project in App Center.
And that just comes from the portal.
That comes from the portal. And so I can say Android is this GUID, UWP is this GUID. Oh, I don't have the GUID. We'll have to put that in there.
Right, you just create the project.
So I'm going to comment that out because I don't know what it is yet. And then we've got the GUID for iOS. And then I'm going to say I want to use analytics and I want to use crashes. Right. So those are the two. Those are the two pillars or pieces that I'm going to use here. Then once I've actually done that, I can start reporting my custom events. And so if I go into main view model, we can see here when we take a photo, just as an example, I'm doing analytics.trackEvent. And I'm going to say, are we using an existing photo or taking a new one? Select photo clicked and take photo clicked. That's how we're getting that specific notification or that specific event name.
Right, triggered in the actual application code.
I can also pass details with it. So one of the things that doesn't happen today with the analytics reporting is it doesn't report caught errors. So it will catch uncaught errors and report those to portal. Those are crashes. But if I catch the exception, there's no way to report that. And so I'm using a custom event for that just to know what's happened in the photo service. And so I'm calling it process picture error, and I pass in a dictionary of string to string. And so it's just a key value dictionary path. I've got the message from the exception, I've got the operating system, and I've got the idiom. So that's, is it a phone, is it a tablet kind of thing. If we go look at this process picture error, this is the one we're on. We can actually go look at these and see the messages. So the idiom is phone. All eight of them are phones. Your picture does not appear to contain a plant. Please try again with 7 times. I'm sorry, I don't recognize that plant was 1 time. So I can get a sense of what's really happening in my app with these custom errors, which is really, really cool.
Pretty fantastic. We do have a couple quick questions here. So Scott asks, can we deploy to the Amazon App Store?
So you can, but not directly through the App Center portal. So the two stores that I'm aware of right now are the Intune Enterprise and the Google Play. But you can download the APKs. So you can just use the build piece and then grab the APK that's actually generated for you. So for instance, if I wanted to, if I go back here to the build piece and I just grab one of these builds, you can see these are the builds that we've actually got. If I select one of these things I can do is actually hit download, and I can actually download this piece. And actually, what I really want to do here is go to the distribution.
Yeah. And grab the APK.
Yep. I want to go to releases. So here's where the release is. Notice there's a download APK here. So you can actually use this, download the APK, and push that into the Amazon store. Absolutely. Another question from Kyle. Can you automate push notifications? Not sure. Automate push notifications.
On certain events. I don't know offhand.
Okay, so I'm going to try to answer the question. I'm not completely certain, but if you go to the API documentation, there's a command line interface for this. It actually, as I mentioned earlier, has a full set of web services. Push notifications are part of that. So yes, you can do push notifications through the REST service or through the CLI.
Right, so then you definitely could, of course. Yeah.
And so you can integrate it as part of a batch file or a script or something like that. Or you could just do it through a web service where you're interacting with App Center.
Right.
And then you send out a push notification to a given audience. Now, when you define the audience itself, so we didn't see the push piece. I don't have push notifications enabled in this. And so you can see for Android, you have to do all of these things first. But what I can do is I can actually go to my audiences and say, let me create a new audience. We'll call it all peoples. And I can add a rule. And the rule, this is being driven off of analytics. So notice we've got country, the mobile carrier, the language. I could say the device model is or is not. We know it works on the Pixel 2. So I'm going to skip the Pixel 2. Right, and then I could say maybe the API level is equal to, and I could put some number there. So I can define my audience. This then has a unique representation that I can then use to push those notifications to. So you could absolutely do that. And by the way, I'm pretty sure you can create these programmatically
as well. I believe you can, yeah.
So that's pretty darn cool as well.
Fantastic.
Awesome. All right, so we've got some closing resources for you. Again, we've got the source code to the app that's available on GitHub. We've got Visual Studio Team Systems, so if you're interested in learning more about that, you can go to that link and kind of get some documentation on
that. Get started up.
It's actually Visual Studio App Center.
Yeah. Yes.
Sorry about that.
And
there's a new link for that, by the way. And then, of course, Xamarin University. We're going to have classes on App Center that will be published very shortly. So if you're interested in getting more details about how each one of these pillars works, you can come to Xamarin University and get some training on that as well.
Absolutely. Fantastic.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for hanging out with us and talking about App Center. We're pretty excited about this product. I think this is the one-stop shop to be able to really create. It lets you focus on building five-star applications and keep that iterative learning process so that you learn exactly how to improve and
absolutely. It really,
build your app.
It's essential to building apps these days. So we'll be right back. We're going to do more work on our Garden Center application.
Yes, we are. We're going to talk about some Azure services next.
Excellent.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody.